Hey everyone, it's Nick.
And Lala.
If you've been listening to Scene and you like what you hear,
please share us with your friends.
Subscribe to the podcast.
Follow us on Instagram at Scene the Podcast.
Write a review and just tell us what you think.
And help make this work sustainable by supporting Scene the Podcast on Patreon.
We need our beautiful community and we cannot do this without you.
Like, this is us, like, learning in public and, like, trying to...
Literally learning in public.
Yeah.
We're at Vancouver Public Library.
Yes.
There are glass doors.
Yes.
We're literally learning in public.
Pulling back the curtain of silence.
And learning what freedom feels like. I'm Nick.
And I'm Lala. This is Scene. Brown-eyed activism.
Healing at the intersections.
So this episode is born from a conversation that we started to have over text randomly one morning. So maybe we can just even start there. So you had talked to me, you were wanting to change our Instagram bio. You wanted to change the word women to femmes.
And I did.
Maybe you can speak to what was behind that for you.
I think it came from the sort of, so remember when we first started the podcast last year? It was 2019, and I'm pretty sure
a
simpler time without coronavirus for the most part. And at some point, I know that we have made posts, and you can look at our social media because we haven't removed them, but we definitely use the word women with an X in it. And so since that point in time, I think we'd had a conversation, I think it might have been in relation to Room Magazine, actually, us putting something together to submit to Room. And then Jessica Johns graciously kind of gave us some, she was like, hey, listen, we've been having these conversations about women with an X, women without an X, that kind of thing. And our sort of stance is that we're going to be using women the way that it's spelt regularly, not with an X. And then I ended up doing some I looked up what women with an X meant. And I was like, yo, this is really turfy. Like, this shit actually, it's supposed to be progressive, but it actually signals the opposite. And it's not as inclusive as I want it to be for all the folks that this podcast is intended to be for. So that includes.
Yeah, because we were misinformed. Like, because I had seen some people with similar politics to mine and values, even like some non-binary people who were using women with an X to be more inclusive of non-binary forms of womanhood and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's what our intention. So then when we find out that a lot of people, and especially a lot of trans people and non-binary people, really see that term and think TERF because of, you know, some of the history around changing the spelling of woman and that kind of thing, we were horrified. We were like, oh God, that's the opposite of what we're trying to do.
Yeah, exactly. And so kind of on that same trajectory of like, I'm open to, both of us are like, this podcast is committed to learning in public. I'm totally happy to not be right about stuff and to be corrected. So I came across a post that, I honestly should remember the like handle specifically, and I will try to plug that somewhere in our like Instagram where I found this piece that basically was talking about why using the word is specific to like Black femmes and how the word femme is a lot more inclusive of people who don't identify necessarily as women but don't have mask privilege, like masculine privilege. And so I was like, oh, that's as inclusive as I want our audience to be. I identify as a femme. And at that point in time, my understanding of femme meant somebody who identifies as either a woman, but a woman who is queer specifically. And so I was like, suggested it to us or you. I was like, hey, could we potentially change the way that we identify ourselves on our little podcast bio from, I don't even know what we say, but from women to femmes. And then we started having a conversation about like what that meant. And so that kind of sparked this conversation.
Yeah, it was so interesting because when I first was asking you, okay, so why were you wanting to make that change? And you told me, you know, what you just said about inclusivity and who you wanted to be including with the language. I asked you if when you were saying femme, did you mean like specifically queer femme? Because I definitely identify with femme as part of my sexual identity. And then you were saying, you know, not really, it was more gender and because of, you know, this reason. And then I felt like a weird dissonance, which I never really felt before because I never really considered the term femme for myself outside of my sexual identity. And when we talked about it more in terms of gender more strictly, mm-hmm. I suddenly was like, oh, that doesn't feel quite right to me. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that we had actually talked, I think, in our original Google Doc of ideas for episodes, like, but way before we started recording, I think we had said femininity is like one of the things we wanted to talk about, and we just never have.
You're totally right. Yeah.
Yeah. What a great time to talk about, you know, our relationships with femininity, our relationships with the label femme. I also want to talk a little bit about the idea of masculine privilege and just these ideas of umbrella terms and the ways we try to identify ourselves and find commonality and group ourselves together and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm grateful that we're having this conversation because in us chatting about potentially changing the bio, I was like, maybe I'm getting it wrong. And then it also just like sparked me to go and do some more research about what is it that I'm identifying as, and am I appropriating something? Am I really paying the right respect to this categorization, this identity, this experience? And so, yeah, I'm grateful that we're able to talk about it for lots of reasons. One of the reasons being because, yeah, we like wanted to discuss it a long time ago and we never got to it. And I've been asking myself and sort of like mulling about this idea of having mask privilege and what femininity really means for me and how I've sort of navigated identifying as a girl, a woman, and being feminine and also in many ways not feeling feminine and all that sort of stuff. So I'm looking forward to this conversation.
All of those things. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So I'm curious because I'm not sure, and this is why text conversations often don't work. I'm curious how you feel about cishet people using the term femme, because I was thought over our text conversation that maybe you were comfortable with it. I am not. I'm curious how you feel about it.
No, I'm not comfortable with it. And this is because of the education that I've done, really. I think previously I had this impression that femme was something that you could identify if you were on this spectrum and closer to the spectrum of like identifying with femininity. And I thought that was enough. And then after having done some more reading and understanding the history of this word femme and how it really came out of movements around lesbian women, queer women specifically, in I think it was like a lot of the like 1920s, 1930s in New York specifically, these like bar scenes where a lot of queer folks were coming together to socialize. And the point of identifying as a femme, in my understanding, I mean, it might be limited, I'm happy to be wrong, was really to sort of identify as yourself as like a femme lesbian or a butch lesbian. And so I was like, okay. And then I was kind of reading some more about this trajectory of the term, because it's really changed over time in the same way that identifying as queer or the word queer has changed over time, but it still continues to be quite political. The notion of being a femme has always been attached to queerness and queering femininity, and queering femininity for the very purpose of subverting this idea that there's a type of way to be as a person with XX chromosomes, and it's supposed to be like this. And so from my understanding now, this idea of the identity of femme is definitely tied to sexual orientation, or are definitely tied to sexual identity. But I don't necessarily think, because when you had said that, I had gotten the impression, or I guess my understanding when you had said it, but I think about it more in relation to sexual identity. I was like, well, I, you know, for me, I identify as a femme, and I feel so novice in my identity as identifying as a queer person. And so I'm kind of like, well, where does that leave me as a person who's like, I identify as queer? And maybe this is like my own unlearning that I need to do, is like, if I haven't had any sexual experiences with women, can I identify as a femme even if I say that I'm queer? Like, where does it all stand? And I think I've gotten to make a little bit more sense out of it now, in the sense that like, I definitely am a femme because I am a queer woman. And I love the notion that it is about pushing back against these patriarchal creations of what it means to be feminine and subverting that.
Totally. And thank you for sharing that. For me as well, like, part of why I hold the identity femme so close to me is because of my understanding of the history, and I also don't know how accurate it is. This is something about being queer, is we don't have access to our history in the same way. So it, you know, we don't always know exactly if we have the stories right and those kinds of things. But my understanding of the history that means a lot to me is that, yes, the identity femme first came up in this relationship of the butch femme relationships, and that those relationships were very radical within the community at that time because they were so visible. And so to be together, you know, in a butch femme relationship and be seen being arousing to other women and being aroused by other women. And then later on, in more like the 80s, 70s, that there was this, you know, radical feminist bent of like rejecting femininity in all of the ways and, you know, rejecting masculinity and sort of this more androgynous thing being put on this pedestal or seen as better than other expressions of gender. And the idea, you know, the judgment from that camp that butches and femmes in relationships together were just like
perpetuating this,
heterosexual, yes, whatever.
Right.
And it's like, that's so offensive to me. I'm like, I'm not attracted to butches and studs
because like, they're nothing adjacent to do with being.
Well, the way that I'm attracted to butches and studs, it has nothing to do with men.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so
yeah.
It's like, it's so offensive. And my own expression of who I am, because to me, a lot of gender, there's so much social stuff in gender. And in particular, you know, we need to talk about this a lot. The white supremacist, you know, colonial system of gender. Mm-hmm. We need to get more into that. Mm-hmm. But I also think there's a lot that we understand as part of gender that is like art, you know, that is a part of just who we are. And it's just expressing ourselves as spiritual, emotional, sexual, sensual beings.
Right.
And so that's part of my gender too. And so the idea that I only express femininity because of, you know, my culture, and that it's somehow I'm brainwashed, like, I find that really offensive too. Mm-hmm. So it's the rebellion against the straight world, but also the rebellion against those radical feminists and, you know, the people who tell us we're, you know, doing it wrong and it's not okay for us to express our genders and our sexualities this way.
Right, right, right.
All of those radical elements of femme identity are the things that really make it so close to my heart.
Yeah. And as you're talking, I'm in my sort of like research of understanding this idea and this identity of being femme, I was struck by the fact that for a lot of gay men, and I don't know like the time stamps on like when the use of the term femme was something that queer men were sort of adopting and identifying with, but within communities of gay men, men that were considered to be more quote unquote feminine were still relegated to the margins. And so it was like also another way for men who didn't want to adopt this idea of like having to be some sort of like tough dude, these sort of very patriarchal notions of what masculinity looks like, even within gay men's communities. And this was kind of part of the adoption of like high femme, of like just being so fucking fabulous in the way that you express yourself, in the way that you do your makeup, in the way that you do your hair, the way that you walk, the way that you talk, like just wanting it to drip off of you. And I think so much of what you're saying makes me feel like this idea of femme is so revolutionary because, and I want to pay homage to the history of it, but I also think of it as like this expansive notion that always has to have its rooting in queer identities for sure, but that it has so much capacity to like hold so many different forms of expression and being, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I love the way it's expanded, and I am so full of love for femmes of different gender identities and, you know, different parts of the queer and trans communities. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for me, it has to stay within the queer and trans communities because, I mean, so much of what we're rebelling against, I mean, gender in our system, there's a certain ideology behind it, right? So it's patriarchal. Heterosexuality is compulsory. Being cisgender is compulsory. And it's inherently white supremacist, like a huge part of our oppression as BIPOC. And I think within the ideologies of anti-blackness, maybe most of all, there is this ideology of a justification of, you know, these non-white people aren't doing gender right.
Right.
And that's like part of how our oppression is justified.
Yes. Yeah.
So to me, it's like we can't understand femininity without race being an inherent part of it. There is no like conception or idea of femininity just devoid of race somehow.
Right.
And there's no femininity devoid of sexuality. Like the way womanhood is defined within this system is that it is being feminine, and part of that is having sex with men and not having sex with women.
Right.
And those are, you know, the only two options in this gender.
Yes, those are the system. Rules we have to play by, basically. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So I think femininity within a rebellion of that is very different from a femininity that is aligned with those things. If that, is this like making sense?
It is resonating with me, because I think what I'm hearing you say is femininity has to be like the apparatus that we're thinking in the same way that we're talking about like feminism. It's not just like we're talking about women. Like we're talking about so much more, because we come into this world and we're treated differently because of these intersections of our identity. So when we're talking about femininity, we can't simplify it. It can't be so reductive that it continues to erase those of us that experience femininity at the intersection of blackness or the intersection of brownness or the intersection of queerness or the intersection of disability, because all of those things, I mean, we can talk about, we've had an episode on white femininity like a year ago, and you and I both know that the way that white femininity operates and the way that it is propped up and the way that it is supported and the way that it is used to perpetuate white supremacy is very particular. And on the other hand, the ways in which black femininity is police scrutinized, marginalized, made to seem deviant, hypersexualized, like there's all these things we have to be able to hold, like the nuance of it, because I think if we don't, we miss out on understanding the actual bodies that are navigating through these systems that say like this is what feminine is and this is what masculine is and there's nothing else in between, and there's no spectrum, there's no shades of gray, it's just this or that. It's like, well, there's this, that, and the other. There's so much.
Yeah, and that's why I really wanted to talk about who is excluded from femininity under the, you know, cis, hetero, patriarchal, white supremacist system of gender. Like trans women in so many different ways, just like the denial of trans identities and trans womanhood is this hugely pervasive form of violence of all kinds. Mm-hmm. But also the way that trans women are put in this impossible situation where if they conform, you know, as much as they can to the white cishet patriarchal ideals of womanhood, they're often accused of being a caricature of womanhood.
Right.
Or, oh, you just think that like being a woman is about these like stereotypes. But then if they don't, then it's used as evidence, supposedly, mm-hmm. that they're not really women. So it's like this impossible situation for them.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you wanted to speak more to what you felt as a Black woman in terms of the way your femininity is seen or not seen, or how you're able to relate to femininity as a Black woman with all of the like misogynoir tropes around Black women as being either too masculine or hypersexual or whatever the other controlling images are that you've felt in your life.
I feel like when you're talking about, as you were speaking on the ways in which we're policing, our society polices trans women's identities, I think that's what that is, right? Like it's about like being able to control a thing so that you're able to have power over the thing. Because you don't control mm-hmm. things that you're not interested in like dominating.
Right.
Like you have to be able to discern what is this thing that makes you different from me. And then I know how I land in terms of like are stacking up against each other. And so I think when it comes to like the misogynoir that I face, which is like the intersection of like anti-blackness and misogyny, there is always going to be the internal policing within Black femme, Black women circles where we're so concerned first and foremost about how our expressions of Black femininity are being received and perceived by other people, because we know that if we're not mindful of that, we experience so much more violence. And there's also this idea of respectability politics that I think is really pervasive in Black Southern communities and in just like any kind of, in a lot of communities like African, African cultures and African communities that are sort of intertwined with monotheistic religions like Christianity and Islam, where we have to be very, very mindful as Black femmes and as Black women, how we are expressing ourselves in the expression and like the mindfulness. I'm not saying that in like a soft to gentle way. I'm saying like, otherwise we're met with violence. Otherwise we're met with, I was going to say missed opportunities, but like lack of opportunities. Like we have to walk a very fine line about how we're expressing even things like natural shit, like our fucking hair, like the ways in which our hair is like seen as this marker of how political we are or how militant we are or how pliable we are to be complicit in like this like weird professional apparatus. And then the way that we speak and the way that we communicate ourselves, because I've been told many times by people who are not even Black and by Black people that I don't sound Black or I'm not really Black. And I'm like, I don't know who's Blacker than me. I'm literally from Kenya. Like, I'm literally the motherland. Like, what do you want? So it's like, not only are we policing the ways in which I am able to express myself, but then what I say as well is going to be considered through this, like, how much should she really know? Because like, she shouldn't know that much. It just kind of feels like you're in a double bind or triple bind or multiple binds where you kind of don't really know how you are just existing is going to be used against you. And I wonder if that resonates for you. You're nodding yes.
Absolutely. And there is no winning. I think there's no winning for anybody feminine or anyone assigned female at birth in this gender system. And I think that really is all of us at the end of the day, because I think that it's a spectrum. We all have parts of us that are called feminine and parts of us that are called masculine. All of us do, right? Yeah. Because these are just human traits and nobody is all one thing or another thing. We contain multitudes. And so at the end of the day, in order to get any access to power, even as cis men, even as white cishet women, there is this killing of parts of yourself that has to happen. This is something Alok Bademanon talks about. You know, what feminine parts of yourself did you have to kill in order to survive in this world? Mm-hmm. So there are people who are especially targeted under these systems, but I think we all are harmed and we're all forced to kill parts of ourselves to get by.
And then there's like this whole, I was watching this thing that Blair Mani put out about, you know, that hashtag challenge accepted thing that a bunch of celebrities are like posting up pictures of like Black and white photos of themselves a couple weeks ago. Yeah. And then it came out that it was like, this is actually about a movement against femicide that's happening in specifically, I think in Turkey, where this woman named Pinar Gültekin was killed by her ex-boyfriend. And it was about raising awareness for that. And it became completely contorted by like celebrity culture, and it was just like a bunch of people posting shit about themselves. But one thing that Blair Imani spoke to specifically to this, like to our conversation right now, is because the context of that was like challenge accepted and a lot of women were posting, it's I love supporting women, like we should always support women, da 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 da. And Blair put this really nuanced thing out there where she was kind of like, the notion that women don't support each other is literally like the patriarchy the fucking telling us that we're supposed to be catty, because some of this shit is stuff that we believe. We perpetuated ourselves, talking about what parts of ourselves we have to kill or deny. It's like we also end up denying the fact that we are like connected to each other and the fact that like there is a whole system and apparatus in place to make sure that we don't know that and we don't see that. Once we understood that, like don't you, I think in my mind, like once white women started understanding that they literally need Black women, like they need us, they need me and you, they need women of color, I think that there would be a really different like mindset. But there's this notion that white women really buy into these hierarchies of order. And we see this in like the Amy Coopers, who are like, I'm gonna weaponize my white femininity to like get you Black man or get you Black woman in trouble, whatever. And then I was watching something else about Jamila Jamil talking about women being double agents of the patriarchy. And I was like, that is so fucking rad, that idea, because she was talking specifically about body dysmorphia and eating disorders, and she's speaking about like Kim Kardashian, about how she's like, why are you selling lollipops about like appetite suppressants to children, like to teenage girls? Like, we trust women and girls trust you because you seem like you were like us, but you were actually like doing things to harm women and girls. And so, like, how are we denying our humanity about, like, just our ability to be natural in our bodies? No disrespect to anyone who does anything, modifies their bodies, but, like, we are so spoon-fed this bullshit that, one, you know, we got to police each other about how we are. Two, from jump, we don't support each other. The most amount of support I've ever experienced is from women and femmes and non-binary people. Like, fuck, man, I don't know who we're talking about. Like, women should support each other. It's like, then who's been supporting us this whole fucking time? Like, that's one of the questions that I have about just, like, this idea of, like, toxic femininity and, like, cattiness and all that shit. I'm kind of like, I think that is a bunch of BS.
Yeah, so we're talking about this indoctrination that happens in these systems of gender, and we're talking about the ways that we are excluded from femininity. And, you know, we're also talking about how we both identify with femininity at the same time. So I'm curious about what this all means for you. So I don't know. I had this whole thing about embracing the quote unquote masculine. And again, I think what we understand as feminine and what we understand as masculine, these are things that change across cultures. I think it's a mix of just, you know, sort of socially constructed things, as well as we're capturing some things under these umbrellas of these labels that are just parts of us expressing who we are beneath that somehow. But, you know, working within this system, so things that I've been told are masculine that I love about myself and feel essential to who I am at this moment in time include things like having sex with women, speaking courageously, expressing anger.
Yep.
Having a high sex drive,
yep.
Being assertive,
yep.
All these kinds of things. And, you know, I have a lot of major placements in my birth chart and things that are considered, like, traditionally masculine signs. All the best astrologers today, I think, are, like, not using those traditional things. But it's interesting, like, for me to think about.
The modern placement, the modern ruler. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's a Saturn, Saturn.
Yeah. But it's interesting for me to think about, because I think this is why I bristled so much at the idea of, you know, being considered femme in a group where cishet women are included, or being called femme by cishet people, is that as a queer brown woman, I mean, first of all, my femininity is definitely different than a white woman's or a cishet woman's, even if in a lot of ways it looks the same, it's still essentially different. But also, I guess to me, as a queer brown person, I feel like those masculine sort of energies that I have are also very essential to who I am. So I know a lot of, especially, I mean, just in my experience, I'm sure there's people of all identities who do this, but in my experience, I've known a lot of cishet women who sort of reclaim, like, they just reject those types of things being called masculine, the things I named, and they sort of want to just take it back and be like, well, who says that can't be
I'm
feminine?
Not bossy, I'm the boss.
Beyonce. Some Beyonce type shit. Campaign,
I know. Let's keep it pushing.
But yeah, so I mean, to me, I do believe in reclaiming the feminine, and that's part of my identity as femme, is like reclaiming those things and also queering them and also, like, turning them on their head. But then also a part of me really wants to reject being just feminine or being understood solely through my femininity. I don't know. Where are you?
How is this landing? I really do appreciate you raising this point, because as you're talking about what are the things that are, what are the energies or quote unquote masculine energies that you possess or that are part of your identity that you love about yourself? And for a lot of the, like, I'm pretty much with you on all those things. I mean, I have a fucking shaved head, right? Like, there are certainly things that I embrace being strong. Like, I love the idea that I'm strong and tough and that, like, physically can, like, handle things. Like, that to me is, like, that makes me feel good about I feel fucking sexiest when I have the shortest hair. And I think it's, like, it's interesting that we feel, and I'm with you on this, because, and I guess maybe we're at different places, just because the way that I present myself is inherently, people think, like, as soon as I shaved my head, they were like, yo, did you break up with your boyfriend? Like, are you gay? Like, people, like, and I was in a sorority at that time. Like, people have thought, like, something was going on with me kind of thing. And I was like, I just wanted to shave my head. Like, I had mad breakage. Like, so I needed to just have a clean start. And, like, my head looks dope. Like, whatever. I had a sexy fade at the time. But I think what I'm trying to say is, I think that there's room within identifying as feminine or even femininity for us to have the both ands. Like so much of what you've blessed me with in terms of my understanding of astrology is not the either or, but the both and that fullness, because the fullness is really like, that's human. It doesn't make any fucking sense to think about, and this is no disrespect to you, like for me, I'm thinking it doesn't make any fucking sense for us to expect ourselves to be static on one place. Because even in the experience of bisexuality, or for me, for queerness, like it's not like all the time I'm like, because for most of my life I've identified as straight, right? And then it was only until like last year where I was like, oh, actually I'm not. That's really not true. I've just been like bamboozling myself this whole time about how I feel about women and femmes and non-binary people. And I'm actually like, I don't even know if I'm identify as bi, but like that's another tale for another time. So I guess my point is more just like, I think that there's definitely room for the expansiveness of expressing yourself in different ways that aren't just static. And like that fluidity that we talk about in terms of sexuality also applies to gender expression, also applies to energy that we feel, also applies to like all the things, like everything's always in motion as like living beings, and we're really fooling ourselves and harming ourselves into this box where we are supposed to just be static and one-dimensional, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I reject this idea even that being loud or being assertive or whatever are like typically masculine. Like I get that like there's masculine energies and feminine energies, but I'm like, but who said that it was masculine? Like who said that being assertive was masculine? Like I didn't say that shit. Did women say that shit? Did femmes say that shit? No. Okay. So if we know that they didn't say that shit, then we know that who the fuck said that shit? The patriarchy said that shit. And I'm just kind of like, I don't listen to what the patriarchy told me. Like even if we're talking about it in the context of like there's masculine and feminine energies and all that sort of stuff, I'm kind of like, there's energies across all spectrums. I could have baby energy too. Like I could just be like an amorphous blob of baby. And I'm just like, I don't know. I'm not, it's not masculine. It's not feminine. It is, I guess I'm just trying to say like, I reject the idea of being boxed in any way.
I agree with anyway. You. I agree with you. And also I think I see there being potentially power in, you know, these concepts and these words do exist, and all of the different ways that we can queer them and turn them on their heads and reclaim them and reject them and understand them in new ways are worthy and worthwhile. And I think to me, it's not a static thing. I think that is what I love so much about my femme identity, is that it feels like an active rebellion and a thing that I do. And I think in terms of like embracing masculinity and the ways that I'm talking about, I think that, you know, it's through love for butches and studs that I can like love masculinity in a different way. Mm-hmm. And want to embrace it in a different way. Because when I'm embracing masculinity, it sure as hell isn't because of anything cis het men have ever done.
Oh, honey.
Let's be honest.
Oh my God. No, it's not. It's not. I know.
And I feel like I could, we don't really have time to go into all of this, but I said at the beginning, we were going to maybe talk a little bit about masculine privilege. We don't really have time. We could probably do a whole episode on that one.
Yeah.
But just on that note of that last thing I was saying, masculinity is absolutely privileged and, you know, prized in our culture and in most cultures. And so I think that's another important reason to identify as femme and to be interrogating these things in ourselves. And, you know, there's like a part of me that has a resistance to that as an umbrella term, because the way that cishet men versus cis gay men versus, you know, trans men versus non-binary trans masculine folks versus butch lesbians or studs, the way they benefit or are targeted because of their masculinity,
right,
is so different.
Exactly.
That said, I mean, cis het men of different races have different privileges given to them or not given to them, you know, because again, like gender is raced and all of these things. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, we talked at the beginning about, you know, whether is femme a more inclusive term and, you know, this kind of thing. I guess what I just would want to say, even though we can't have like the entire conversation, and I'm curious how you feel about this, is I think sometimes we're too eager to look for umbrella terms and ways to have just words that include more people, when actually we need to have more nuanced analysis and analysis that has enough nuance to capture and hold everybody, as opposed to, like, I think sometimes we try to just look for language to do that job for us instead of expanding the thinking, our actual analysis.
Right. Does
that
make sense? Yeah. No, it does make sense. I totally agree with you. I think similar critiques have been made about the term BIPOC, and just kind of like, if we're talking about Black people, say Black people. And if you're having a problem saying Black people and you're saying BIPOC or POC, then you need to be doing the thinking, that thinking work that you're not doing. You're just trying to, it's efficient, right? Like being able to have these umbrella terms. And oftentimes I think the umbrella terms come because we're trying to discuss experience that is so shared. But at the same time, I think the specificity does matter, and the nuance of those different spectrums of identity, like you were just talking about people who benefit from masculine privilege across different lived experiences. And you just spoke about it from like gender and sexuality. We didn't even think about like class and race and all the other things too. So it's like we need to be able to have, like you're saying, more nuanced conversations about what we mean when we're saying femmes, like this one. And as well, I think rejecting this idea that when we say femme or when we say anything, we all know what each other means. Like, I think that's been a really cool thing that we've been able to explore today, is just that initially when I was like, let's call it femme, and I still would be like, I'm happy to change the bio. Like, that's kind of how I feel. But again, I'm like, I'd rather us have a conversation and come to this understanding where I'm like, where are you coming from when you say this, or how do you feel about it? And what does it mean to you? And what is like that legacy or that history? And why do you choose that term? And I think that is a really big, important point, is like choosing what you identify as opposed to people blanketing you and telling you what you are. Because, you know, in the same way that there's like a lot of Black people that are like, I'm not a person of color, I'm Black. Like, don't reduce me to this thing, because like my experience as a Black person is very different than your experience as a brown woman. It's very different. And yes, in many ways, there can be shared understandings of structural racism, but anti-Blackness still exists within Black communities and within brown communities. So it's different, right? Like, we have to be able to, yeah.
And I think let's find our commonality by really holding space for and learning about the specificities of each other's experience.
Right. Yep.
Rather than trying to gloss over that.
Yeah. Yes. And like, we should probably have
commonality.
Yes. And we should definitely have a conversation about colorism, because it's been hot and popping.
Like today. Yeah. It was like, we haven't talked about it. Yeah.
Shit's been bubbling. I've been thinking about it a lot, but I want to talk about it. It's going to, another tale for another time.
Yes. Yes.
And so we're going to have to do.
We're getting too excited.
I know.
Remember when we took that one extra week off between our last episodes, and then you were like, it can give us time for ideas to regenerate. And apparently they're just flowing out now.
True. Yeah.
So before I finish with our BIPOC of the week, I just want to invite and encourage and ask for all of our queer and trans BIPOC community to slide into our DMs, to into our comment sections, to however you can, please. Let us know how you feel about the things that we're talking about today, because we're obviously both in this learning process, and it's been generative to be connecting with more people and asking them these questions about what these things mean to them. And I'm really, really curious to hear from more people. So please let us know.
Yes.
And for our BIPOC of the week, what I really just wanted to do was read an excerpt from a really beautiful essay called I Came to Femme Through Fat and Black, by Sydney Lewis. I came to femme as defiance, through a big booty that declined to be tucked under, bountiful breasts that refused to hide, insolent hair that can kink and curl and beat up and lay straight all in one day, through my golden skin against her caramel skin, against her chocolate skin, against her creamy skin, through rainbows of sweaters, dresses, and shoes, through my insubordinate body, defying subordination, incapable of assimilation, and tired, so tired of degradation. through flesh and curves and chafed thighs, which learned from my grandma how Johnson's baby powder can cure the chub rub. Through Toni Morrison and Nella Larson and Audre Lorde and Joelle Gomez, who perhaps unwittingly captured volumes of Black femme lessons in their words. Through Billie Holiday, who wore white gardenias while battling her inner darkness. Through my gay boyfriend, who hummed show tunes and knew all the lyrics to Baby Got Back, which he sang to me with genuine admiration. Through shedding shame instead of shedding pounds, and learning that growing comfortable in my skin means finding comfort in her brownness. I came to femme through fat, where hunger becomes ravenous, and black, where darkness meets danger. And with the click-clack of metal heels and a not-so-little black dress, in femme, I arrive.
Oh, that's so moving. I love that poem. That is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. To me, that just sounds like identifying as femme as like resistance. It's not this, it's like this active, moving, pushing back, challenging, accepting. Yeah. I love it. Thank you for that.
All of those things.